Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from the New Testament, John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31, and I invite you to read along with me. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book, but this so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We do give thanks for a mother's love today. Hi, Mom. And at the same time, I do think it's important, particularly in the church, to honor those who experienced mothering that was far from that ideal of a mother's love. And I think always we need to hold sympathy for those who miss mom more today, even than other days. Holidays, like Mother's Day, but not only Mother's Day, of course, can be tricky, because they come with cultural pressure to feel a certain way. Not just to do certain things, but often to feel certain ways inside. And I want to insist that you can feel the way that you need to feel today. You can feel the way that you need to feel today. And in fact, today's scripture reading that we just read together, I think, points to honesty about how we feel. That's actually right where it starts, isn't it? Well, I want to invite you to start with actually feeling. Like, literally, actually feel the way that you feel right there in your body. I invite you to just allow the sensation that is there to be with you. And if you've got to get yourself in a more comfortable position so that you can feel that body, that's okay. So if a mother's love resonates for you today, take a deep breath and feel where that love is, what that love feels like in your body today. Where in your body do you feel that love? For me, it wraps me around the shoulders. Or if all this Mother's Day stuff leaves you longing for a love that you don't feel right now, where is that longing in your body? Where does that sit? You might feel both of those at the same time, and again, that's okay too. Or maybe today you're not feeling all that tender toward your body. Maybe today you're feeling something else toward your body, but notice where your attention goes. When you notice your body, where in your body does that attention land? See, there's no right or wrong way to feel. Comfort and warmth and anger and pain, they can all be real, but I want to invite you to just let your body be honest with you for a moment today. See, this relationship that we have with our bodies, I think, shapes some of the way that today's scripture reading might land. And again, there's not a right or a wrong way for that to be shaped. The feelings that you have in and about your body, the feelings that you may have as today's scripture reading lands with you, they may not even be about you. Maybe you experience your body as this amazing divine gift, which of course it is. Maybe you experience it as the strength to run and to play. Maybe you feel the way that music resonates in your body. Maybe the way that color lands with you. Maybe your body is beloved as this carrier, this tangible carrier of the memories that you have accumulated in life. Or maybe you experience your body as a problem, because of course it is. Maybe you are not happy with the size or the shape or the level of fitness of your body right now. Maybe your body triggers discrimination in the world around its gender or its race or its sexuality. Maybe your body holds grief and trauma. Maybe you feel this morning weakness or illness or pain. So today's message actually is especially for you if you're in that second group that feels your body as a problem, even as a barrier to the life that God has for you. Maybe it feels like a barrier because you can't receive your body as a gift of God's love for you today. Maybe your body feels like a barrier because you just can't deny how good the gift of your body is, and Christianity for centuries feels like it has been telling you that your body is a problem instead. Maybe your body stands in the way of feeling God's love for you today because you've been told that heaven is this fantasy where we all float around on clouds without any scars or disabilities, places where maybe you can't quite belong. But today, the gospel is that we encounter Christ, the risen Christ, we encounter the risen Christ in our bodies, scars and all. The scripture reading continues this series of resurrection appearances after the first Easter. And so last week, Jesus appeared to his disciples, except for Thomas, who wasn't there. We don't know why. Maybe Thomas was not so afraid that he had to hide behind locked doors, or maybe he was driving someone home after what was, after all, a very long day. Maybe he was out getting pizza and he got back and everybody's like, "We've seen the Lord." And he's like, "I've seen pepperoni." But last week's story was not enough for Thomas. Last week's story that he didn't get to see and feel and experience in his own body, it was not enough for Thomas. Maybe it's because Thomas was a twin. I don't have that experience myself, but from what I hear, twins experience their twin in this bodily way that many of us who are siblings by any other mechanism, we just don't have that same experience. Maybe that's what Thomas needed. Maybe he needed a specifically, uniquely embodied encounter with this risen Christ. And Thomas doesn't just have that feeling today. Thomas, throughout the gospel, has been always only focused on being where Jesus is. Even if following Jesus would lead to death, Thomas wants to be right there. Even if somehow following Jesus leads into life, Thomas wants to be right there. Because what Thomas really wanted, what Thomas is really asking for in today's story is to know the resurrection as a physical, bodily reality. Now, Christian theology insists that the resurrection is a physical, bodily reality. And the Bible paints this really strange picture of exactly what that means. See, the Bible insists that Jesus' body after the resurrection is emphatically real. He shows up, he has these scars, he eats, he drinks, he chats with people, and he materializes in the middle of a locked room, and he disappears in the middle of dinner. His closest followers don't recognize him. And so we know that this body, it's the same, but it's very different. The Bible insists that this body, even though it's very different, it is the same. It's different in quality somehow, but it is the same in identity. We know that it is, in fact, Jesus. And the Bible even insists that this body of the risen Christ is the same in the wounds. It bears the wounds of crucifixion. Now, I can't tell you exactly how all of that happens. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how all of that happens. I don't think the Bible cares exactly how it is that Jesus' body is so different and yet the same. What the Bible cares about is that it is truly Jesus. That not even death stands in the way of the life of this risen Christ. That not even our scars and our wounds stand in the way of the resurrection. And I find that really deeply comforting. I find it really deeply comforting that Jesus still has the wounds of death after he has been raised to life. I find that really deeply comforting because it tells me that the wounds that we suffer in life, they're not barriers to the life of Christ in us. It tells me that our physical abilities or disabilities, our emotional traumas, our mistakes, our accidents, they are never so devastating that God cannot bring new life from them. Jesus' wounds tell me that not even death, not even physical death, is more powerful than God's life in this world. And it is Jesus' wounds, ultimately, that prompt Thomas's confession, this good confession that he makes, "My Lord and my God." Sometimes we give Thomas a bad rap because Jesus pronounces this blessing on those who have not seen and yet come to believe, as if we who have not seen don't come to believe in our own bodies. In fact, our bodies are exactly where we see our Lord and our God risen and alive among us today. Our bodies see Jesus when we serve our neighbors, just as Mary anointed Jesus' feet. We see and believe when we receive loving care from others, just as when Jesus washed Thomas's feet on the night before he was arrested, and he washed Peter's feet and Mary's feet, and washes our feet as well. We believe in that place in our bodies where love lives most tangibly. You remember where that is? That place in your body? If you don't remember, you can feel it. It's still there. That place in your body where love lives most tangibly, that's where we believe. That's where Jesus is present to us in the feeling of a mother's embrace, however exactly that lands, wherever that lands in us. Jesus is present in our body's memory of deep, deep joy, or our anticipation of deep joys to come, or even in our body's hunger or discomfort or ache. Jesus' love and life are present there as well. So just allow one more breath to come into that body. Know where that love is in your body. Christ's love is present right there in this body. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Speaking of meeting Jesus in our bodies, Cross Outreach is bringing its back-to-school giveaway back in person this year. So for 2 years, Cross provided school supplies through local school districts. But after those 2 years, we will now be back to distributing fully stocked backpacks, which gives you a chance to be physically involved in that process as well. So every year, Cross distributes up to 1,600 backpacks filled with age-appropriate school supplies for students in pre-K all the way up through high school. And kids love to have their own school supplies to take to school, their own backpack to carry back and forth. And again this year, returning, volunteers from Covenant and other local faith communities and many other organizations will get to work together to stuff those backpacks. We will also support the back-to-school giveaway at Covenant by providing storage space for those supplies when they are delivered this summer before it's time to stuff those into the backpacks. So we get to physically help twice. They will just appear behind a locked door. Your Coins for Concern contributions this month of May will go directly to Cross Outreach for the back-to-school giveaway. All you have to do is drop your loose change in the offering plate or designate Coins for Concern on your not-so-loose change, check, or electronic gift. We are so grateful for your contributions to Coins for Concern and all of Covenant's mission.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.